I know there's a lot of you here this morning because we're having a special and you've been invited, and people saying, why don't you come with me, visit with me, be my visitor, something like that. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for it. We really do care about you. It's not just, you know, marks on a board or something like that. It's because you've got a soul. Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you. And the Lord wants to be real to you today. If you're here today and you've never made things right with the Lord, this service is for you. Now, everybody, I'm going to wait on y'all to get settled down there. Everybody get settled down. Anybody who's got any more moving to do, do it right now. It's absolutely necessary that everybody be able to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 8, there's a verse here that's on my heart for the service this morning. God's dealing with Israel here. I had spoken to them, and I believe we can relate it to us today. Look at verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. What they were saying as a nation there was, here another summer's gone by. Harvest is over with. Summertime's gone. God still hadn't saved us or hadn't delivered us from their bondage that they were in. Here, you and I could say this morning, here another summer has gone by. The fields are harvested. The leaves are falling. And some of you are still not saved. You're still not saved. Now, there's only two kinds of people in this room this morning, saved and lost. Everybody in this room today is going to heaven or hell. One of the two. There is no such thing as in between. There's no such place as purgatory. Everybody in this room right now, you are moving in a direction toward heaven or hell right now. And the truth is, none of us know how much time that we've got. I saw a man the other evening unloading a whole truckload of pumpkins. And they were holding these pumpkins, big ones, some of them bigger than these here. And they were unloading them off the back of that truck. On up the road a little ways, I saw a cornfield. And in that cornfield, there were some dead corn stalks. And these corn stalks were standing there dead and dry and withered away. And those corn stalks were reminding us summer's over with. It's gone. You remember it just seemed like the other day when it started getting spring? Remember it just seemed like the other day kids were saying, man, it's only 2 weeks till school's out and we're going to have a good time and all it. And here the leaves are turning. We were there yesterday, those things turning blue, our front, the blue sky, they're turning orange, yellow, green, brown, right up against that sky, every fall color you can think of. We were turning blue. The leaves were to their fall colors. Now, some of you people were sitting here this morning were saying no to God when these pumpkins were the little bitty size of golf balls. You're still saying no now. Some of you were saying no to God when those corn stalks were just little bitty green sprouts sticking out of the ground about that high. You're saying no to God, and you're still saying no to Him now. Some of you were saying no to God when those leaves that are falling out there this morning were little tiny specks coming out on a tree of light green, barely visible. Yet you still are not saved. Somebody said, one day I saw a door and meant to go within the room someday. I looked around and marked the ground, lest I forget the way. When I returned, all was the same, excepting where before a light had been, no light was seen, and God had closed the door. Now, the truth is this morning, a lot of you are seeing that harvest is here. The leaves are falling. The corn's died. The stuff's in the barn. The hay's baled. And you have done went another summer and you still are not saved. The summer is past. The harvest is ended. And you're still a Christian. Now, that you've made it up in your mind, one of these days you're going to get saved. You say, one of these days I'm going to become a Christian. But if you're not careful, that day never will come. You here this morning, you're still not saved. First of all, in the spite of the pleadings of your loved ones. Some of you have a graying mother. She's begging you all the time, honey, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come and go to church with me and sit beside me? You never know when that last gospel sermon you'll ever hear will be. You're still not saved in spite of that graying mother who's asking you and asking you and asking you every Sunday morning, why don't you get up and go to church? Some of you are not saved in spite of a praying daddy. You've got a daddy you know's praying for you. And every time you have a family get together, your daddy will look at you and he'll say, son, you need to go to church. Honey, you need to go to church. The Lord's coming back. You're going to die one of these days. You need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Nothing else is as important as being right with God. You've got a daddy that's trying to get you saved. And you're still not saved in spite of your daddy. Some of you are not saved in spite of a loving husband. You think of all the men right here in McDowell County that has a wife that goes to church every Sunday. And as soon as she gets home, he's sitting there watching a football game. She says, honey, let me tell you what the preacher preached about. He said, I don't want to hear it. When I get ready to go to church, I'll go to church. You're sitting here today, you're not saved in spite of a woman that prays for you and loves you and goes to church every single Sunday. The summer's ended and you are not saved yet. You're not saved in spite of a child. Some of you have a little child that'll crawl up in your lap at night and put its arms around you and say, Daddy, why don't you go to church with me and Mommy? Why don't you go to church with me, Mommy? Why don't you, instead of making me ride the bus, why don't you go with me? Boy, I'll tell you, you're getting hard-hearted when you can look at the face of one of your children and say, no, honey, Daddy's not ready or Mama's not ready. God uses all these things to get to people, and some of you are still saying no to God. Summer's over with. We had the heat on this morning. You got your jackets on. You had to close those windows. Winter's coming on. And you still are not saved here today. I never will forget. I thought about friends. And this story's made a mark on my mind for years. How that during one of our Tory's great meetings, had one of his representatives in a restaurant. The fellow went down here and he sat down in the restaurant. And a man come and waited on the table. And he said, what can I get you? And he took their order. And while he was going to get their order, he said, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, witness to that man. And he said, I can't talk to him. Lord, he's busy. He's working. That man don't want to talk to me. He don't want to hear what I've got to say. And the Lord said, speak to him. He said, well, that's unusual, me speaking to a man while he's working like that. But he came back and filled up their tea and came back, asked them if they want anything else. He said God's Spirit was knocking on his heart's door, saying, talk to him. Talk to him about his soul. And he said, no. And it bothered him so bad that when he left the restaurant, he went out the door and he thought, well, I'll wait on him or I'll go back in and talk to him when he gets off work. In a little bit, the manager came out. He asked the man, what are you waiting on? The man said, I want to talk to that waiter who was waiting on tables on for us at lunch a while ago. And that man, the manager of the restaurant looked at him. He said, you'll never talk to that man.
That man, after he waited on your table, went into the back room, took a pistol, put it to his head, and took his own life. He said, you'll not speak a word to that man. That man's chance is over. He waited one day too long. One day too late. Let me tell you something this morning. Kids, listen to me. Everybody hear me. God waited on you yesterday. You didn't get saved. God's waiting on you today for you to get saved. But you don't have no promise that God is going to wait on you tomorrow. You don't know that. Nobody in here has the promise. All the people that died over the weekend did not know they were going to die. The people that went to heaven or hell, they didn't know that would be their last day on this earth. Some of you are not saved in spite of the pleading of your loved ones. Every time you get around daddy, every time you get around mama, it's church, church, church. And you say, don't start on me. I don't want to hear it. Don't try to cram that stuff down my throat. When I get ready to go to church, I'll go to church. Let me tell you here this morning, if you've got somebody that cares enough about you to get you to the house of God, you ought to thank God they care enough about you to aggravate you with it. Number two, some of you are not saved in spite of extended opportunities. Somebody's been in your home and opened the Word of God. Some of you didn't have the privilege I have. Listen, I was 18 years old when I got saved. But you knew me before I got saved? Before I got saved, man, the last place you'd catch me on Sunday morning was in church. I did not want to go to church. I couldn't stand church. The only time I ever went to church was when I spent the night with one of my friends and his mom and dad made him go. I'd go with them. We'd sit back there and talk and scribble notes and cut up and wait till it was over. And I didn't hear one word the preacher said. And I was out, you know, how I was, and my hair was way down here, and I had on an old pair of blue jeans. Then I got saved. The night I got saved. And brother, I never remember what some of you've had. I never remember a preacher sitting down with me and taking the Bible and showing me how to get saved. But some of you have. You've had somebody knock on your door. And you went to the back room, you went to the bedroom and shut the door and let mom or daddy talk to that preacher so you wouldn't have to listen to them. You had opportunity after opportunity, Sunday after Sunday. In a year's time, you had 52 Sunday mornings, 52 Sunday nights, 104 chances to hear the gospel and be saved. 52 more Wednesday nights, making over 150 regular services, not counting all the preaching that's on the radio, not counting all the preaching that's on tapes and tracks and personal witnesses and revival meetings. Some of you people right here have had chance after chance after chance. Now I want to ask you this morning, what are you waiting on? Why are you keep saying no to God? The harvest is past. The summer's ended. You're still not saved here today. You've had chance after chance. Maybe you've been alone and afraid at night. And your conscience starts bothering you. And a little voice says, you need to pray. And then you start wrestling. And you start thinking, now if I get saved, I have to quit this and I have to quit that. And if I become one of them Christians, then I'm afraid that things, I'd have to change my lifestyle. And you're saying, I'm waiting a little bit longer. Now, you know what the devil's job is? The devil's job is to make you keep waiting. Now, let me illustrate that right quick. Let's just say here that Brother Gene here. Come here, man, Gene. Brother Gene's one of our young people. He's still a teenager, ain't you? You're 19? Okay. Now, let's say Brother Gene here is walking along. Come back over here a minute. Now, Brother Gene, turn around this way. Now, his job in this life is going through life. Here he goes through high school. He graduated from high school last year. This past year, I think, didn't you? Did you fail? He made it. He made it. Now, here he's graduating from high school, and now he's working, and he's going through life. Now, all the way through school, there's two ways that he can go. He can go toward God, or he can go to church and do right, or he can go out and sin. Now, you know what the devil's job is? See, here's the Lord. Say the Lord's way over here somewhere, and the Lord's up here in heaven. He's saying, all right, Gene, come to me. What a lot of people forget is there's a bill. And what a lot of people forget is you don't know when you're going to die. So, the devil comes up.
Brother Todd, he'd make the perfect devil.
He's been the devil for us before. He was used as the devil at the youth rally, wasn't he? Oh, my soul. If you missed the youth rally, you missed a blessing. He was dressed up in the devil suit with a pitchfork out front with a big sign said, "Don't go in this church." And some Satanist or somebody come by and saw him out there and was going to stop and beat him up. Or somebody else stopped out there and they said, "Hey, is this fella giving you people any trouble? He's going to kill him right out there on the street." I should have said, "Yeah, get him out of here." But I didn't. I said, "No, he's all right. He's one of us." "No, he ain't one of us. He's somebody that's one of us dressed up like somebody that ain't one of us." And so he's the devil. Let's say he's the devil. Now listen to me, young people. The devil's job is to mess you up so you won't look to God before you die. That's his job. He don't care about you. So as this young man starts walking through life, the devil comes out with all kinds of things to try to get your attention. See? That's what I have to do. The devil will say, "Now, I don't care a flip about Gene, but I want him in hell with me. So I tell you what can I..." "Oh, yes. Here's some..." "Oh, look at here, Gene. Look, look. Have you seen Terminator 3 and Friday the 4th, Part 95? And have you seen..." "Look, look, Gene, look. He's doing a good job, man. He ain't looking. Look, Gene, look. Come on, you don't want to go to that church. Shoo, it's boring. Yuck. Who could stand that? Go with me, man. Go with me." "All right, get him out." Now, the devil's job is to keep him from giving to God. "You're letting him go, devil. You're letting him go." Now, the devil's... "You're too good, Gene. You're too good. Come back over here. Let him mess you up a little bit." This was unrehearsed. Now, the devil's job is to get him off track. Get him now. Get it. Yeah, there he goes. "Hey," he says, "hey, Gene, have you ever tried one of these? Oh, man, this tastes good, man. Try one right here. Try one right here. Have you seen this?" And then all of a sudden, one of these girls come by and says, "Hiya, big boy. Want to go somewhere with me?" See, like that? That's what the devil does. That's what the devil does. Now, that's why you kids in high school have such a hard time living right. He's hitting you every day of your life. And you think, "Wow, this is fine. That's fun." You don't know it's a devil. You don't realize. You're not smart enough to know what's going on. That's why I'm telling you. So you'll know. His job is to mess you up and then, bam, you get in a car wreck. So what does he say? "Well, I don't know if I better do this or not, devil. My preacher says wrong." And the devil says, "Don't listen to him. He's old fashioned. Man, that guy went out with a Flintstone. His generation's gone. Besides, you can get right with God anytime you want to. Wait till you get old and gray headed like these other people in here before you start that religious stuff." But what the devil don't tell you is that people die every day, every minute. And you don't know when your turn is. Might be today. Go ahead and sit down there, fellas. See, nobody in here knows when you're going to die. Nobody knows when you're going to die. We don't know. Your job is to be prepared to meet God. In spite, number three, of the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. He woos. He convicts. He draws. You know what scares me? How that people can stand Sunday after Sunday with the Holy Ghost of God speaking to their heart, their conscience bothering them, their heart miserable, and turn and walk out the door. It's God's Spirit speaking to you. Let me give you some scripture, friend. Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." God strove with that age before the flood, and He strove with them and strove with them. And God told Noah, He said, "I'm not always going to put up with it." Let me give you some scripture over in the book of Hosea, and the book of Hosea 4:17, where God said, "Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone." God said in Isaiah 45:1, woe unto them that strive with his maker. History is filled with stories of people who waited too late. Number five, four this morning, how can you not be saved? And some of you are still not saved in spite of the cross of Calvary. How you can look at the cross of Calvary with the pain, the shame, the agony, the anguish, the torment, the suffering, the travail that Jesus Christ went through for you and say no to God is beyond human comprehension. You imagine, let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it wasn't like these pictures. I mean, they show him up there and he's got a little cut right here and a little bit of blood. Did you know they beat him? You couldn't tell what he looked like. He looked like hamburger meat. The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man. It looked like something had been run over on the road, hanging on that cross. Jeremy, I said when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it looked like something had run over on the highway. When they scourged him, they'd take that cat of nine tails and those leather straps that have sharp rocks and bits of glass in those straps, and they'd hit him with it like that, and it'd wrap around their stomach, and the guy would jerk that handle back, and when he did, those things would cut into a man's stomach. Sometimes their intestines would fall right out on the ground before they ever crucified him on the cross. You know why that? He could have called 10,000 angels and got him down from the cross. He could have said, Father, I don't want to go through this. I'm backing out. But he looked out into the future 2,000 years ahead of time into Marion, North Carolina, and saw this building, this group of people here, saw you sitting on that seat and said, I love him enough and her enough and died for their sins. Every wrong thing you've ever done in your life, Jesus Christ let them whip him for. That's why us, when we do wrong, some of you are not saved in spite of the cross of Calvary. One time there's a man, they had been witnessing to him, trying to get him to get saved, and he kept putting it off and saying no. Finally, he got sick real bad off with a disease, and he went and visited the doctor. And the doctor said, here's what's wrong with you. Now take this medicine. You can start in about 30 days. And the patient said, no, doctor, no, don't make me wait 30 days. Why should I wait 30 days? I need the medicine. And the doctor said, well, perhaps you're right. Start maybe in 2 weeks from now taking your medicine. He said, doctor, that don't sound reasonable. Why should I have to wait? You're going to make me wait for 2 weeks to take the medicine? And the doctor said, well, perhaps you're right. Wait about 3 days. And the patient said, no, doctor, why would you make me wait 3 days? I'm sick now. And the doctor said, why don't you wait till tomorrow and start taking it? And the patient said, doctor, I may be dead tomorrow. I want that medicine today. And the doctor said, see, that's what we've been trying to tell you about your soul. Why would you want to wait a month for the remedy that God's provided for your sin-sick soul? See, your soul's sick this morning. And every wrong thing you've ever done in your life is a sin against your soul. And God has the medicine, Jesus Christ on the cross. And the only way you can get it taken away is get that cross, that blood on your heart, and your sins forgiven. You know what they did one time? They said in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where that great big dam was up there holding all that water. Somebody come through town, and I think in the spring, and they said, you people are living in danger. If I were you, I'd move out of this town. That dam's going to break one of these days. And they laughed at him. They said, we've heard that for years. That dam, they've been telling us that all their life, like people in California, an earthquake. We've heard that all of our lives. It ain't never happened yet. You know what happened at that? A few months later, somebody else come through town. They said, listen, you people are in danger. If you don't get out of that town, one of these days that dam's going to break and it's going to wash this whole town away. And they said, you can't scare us. We've lived here all of our lives. Don't bother us with all that scary talk. One day a fella come riding through town screaming on the back of a horse. And he started screaming, "The dam is broke. The dam is broke. The water run for your lives." And they said, "Who is that crazy fanatic?" And laughed as he went on through town and got a town. Within 30 minutes, that muddy water was coming down through town. And just a few hours, the town was gone. And 3,700 people lost their life because they didn't take it. They thought it's never going to happen. One day, they waited one day too long. Some of you sitting here this morning, you're going to wait one day too long now. I'm telling you, you've heard me preach. You've heard other, you're going to fool around and wait one day too long. I read of a story of a young lady who was at a revival meeting one night. She said she's just a young girl in her late teens, and God spoke to her heart. And she felt miserable. And she said, "I want to be saved." But she said, "I'll be saved tomorrow night. I'll come back tomorrow night and I'll get saved." She went home that next evening. Her mom said, "Honey, you going to the revival tonight?" She just remembered they was having a dance. She said, "No, I'm going to the dance." Her mom said, "No, honey, please. You said you're going to get saved tonight. You don't want to take that chance." She said, "No, I'm going to the dance, but it's the last thing I ever do." She went upstairs to get ready. Her boyfriend came by to pick her up. He sat down in the living room. He waited and waited. She never did come down. Went upstairs. They found that girl where she was getting her makeup on, slumped over on the dresser where she had fell out. She had like an aneurysm, a blood vessel. So busted in her head, she died just like that. She lost soul by waiting one day too long. I say it again as I close this morning. She lost her soul by waiting one day too long. Admit your problem this morning. You're just stubborn. Admit this morning. Admit it today. You're just holding out so you can live it up a little longer. But the gamble. You know what some of you are doing? The devil's putting that stuff in front of you. He's saying, "Hey, look at here. Look at here." That's why he has to keep coming out with new fads and new styles and new this and new that to keep your attention off God, to keep you from being saved. God wants you to be saved this morning, friend. The summer's past. The harvest is ended. And some of you people standing here, sitting here this morning, are not saved. I'd like for you to stand with your heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one talking, no one leaving the building. Every bowed, every eye closed. They're coming to get us a song. I want to ask you a question this morning. Summer's past. Harvest is ended. We're in the fall. We're going towards another winter. And some of you are still not saved. Let me ask you a question, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No talking, no looking around. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you died right now, everybody in here, if you had died today, if you knew that you had to die today, do you know that you're saved? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I think I'd go to heaven." That's not enough, man. That's not enough. That's a big risk. Would there be somebody here would say, "Preacher, I know that I'm going to heaven. If I died today, I do know that I'm saved." Just hold up your hand this morning. Hold up your hand. Don't lie. Don't lie. Okay. No one's looking. God bless you. You can put them down. You can put them down. There are many hands this morning that could not go up. That indicates there's a problem between you and God. And the devil's going to use everything in his power to keep you from being saved. You say, "Well, it's late, preacher, and I'm going to go eat dinner." You better forget about that this morning. The most important thing in the world right now is your soul. Your soul. Is God speaking to you? Summer's past. Harvest has ended. And some of you are still not saved. I wonder if there'd be those here this morning while our heads are still bowed and eyes closed and say, "Brother Danny,
I need prayer this morning. God spoke to my heart through the message this morning. I believe it was for me. Please pray for me. Would you slip a hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Just raise your hand. Take it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you and try to drag you to the altar. We just won't pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Take it right back down. Take it back. Okay, God bless you. Several hands have gone up here this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, remember me in this prayer. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Right quickly. We're not going to you. We're not going to put you on the spot. I do want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Summer's ended. We're in the fall of the year. Some of you are still not saved. You're not saved. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell like that girl did. You'll wish you'd never been born if you die in your sins and go to hell. You that raised your hand this morning, we're going to pray. Why don't you come on down here to this altar this morning and set things. Father, I want you to speak to us this morning, Lord. God, I pray that your will be done. I pray, God, for these that lifted their hands, Lord, that you'd give them the grace to step out of that seat, make their way down here to this, and get their heart right with thee. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.